Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer, doing it remotely. Ryan, what's happening, bro?
Not much, man. Just hanging out in the mountains.
Yeah, where are you at?
Up in Mammoth.
Up in Mammoth?
Mammoth, California, I should say.
Nice.
For all of
and
our international listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So they can figure out where you're at. Now, Mammoth, it's right on the border of California, Nevada, correct?
It's more just in the middle of California. It's kind of on the one road that takes you up to Tahoe. So, you know.
Oh, okay. So there's no access to casinos like Tahoe.
There's actually the, when you hit Bishop, which is the last main city before Mammoth, there's a, when you're leaving town, there's a little casino called the Paiu Palace. It's like, I don't know. The building can't be more than like 10,000 square feet. It's tiny.
And is it a Indian casino, full gambling joint?
I don't know. I've never been inside. It's definitely got slot machines.
Oh, okay. Well, then yeah, it should be, because I don't think the California card houses, which that's what we have in Los Angeles mostly, is a lot of these California card houses where it's kind of weird. You can play blackjack, but it's not really blackjack. Like, they have different rules, and then you can play. It's mostly, I think, guys go there to play poker against each other, and then the house just rakes the pot.
Yeah, the blackjack's weird, though. I think you pay a dollar to play, and then the loophole is that the dealer or the house isn't actually paying you. It's this third-party financial company that sits on the end of the table and pays you. It's a very sad, sad world.
Yeah, no, if you ever go to these California, like, L.A. casinos, it's not good at all. It's like old Vegas any sort of charm.
They really depict it. If you're watching the show Luck, the one character is this degenerate, and he frequents the Hustler Casino, and they really capture it in the show. It's just very depressing.
Not a lot of good times over there in Luck. All right, Ryan. Let's take a look at our NBA All-Star picks. Great, great weekend for the Sports Gambling Podcast and All-Star weekend, Ryan.
We really destroyed it on all counts.
Yeah, first off, the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. We had
Well, let's start with the Rising Stars game.
Oh, sure. The BBA Rising Stars game. Is that what you're talking about?
Over. Yes. We recommended the over. And I think the over came in by a solid, 10, 15 points?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of watching it here and there, but you're not sweating that over at all if you had the over in the BBVA Rising Stars Challenge, sorry. And, of course, the West. I think you took the West. I took the East just to mix it up there. I think, or maybe it was the other way. Oh, no, it's not East and West. It's Chuck and Shaq. I went with Shaq's team because he had Blake Griffin. And here's something to think about, Ryan, in future Rising Stars games that we'll probably bet on. A lot of these guys that play in the All-Star game, they don't play them hardly at all in the Rising Stars game. I didn't even think about that. You know, I took Team Shaq partially because I thought guys would be wanting to lob up, you know, dunks to Blake over there. But Blake barely played because they arrested him for the real All-Star game.
Yeah, well, that, and I think just in general – All-Star games, you got to take the underdog. It just seems it seems like it's silly there's a spread.
Yes, you got to take the points. You're just getting free points because really it should be for all realistic purposes, unless there's like a Michael Jordan or something like that. But even then, I still think you
just take the points.
You don't want to be laying points in the All-Star game. So yeah. Taco Bell All-Star game or the Skills Challenge. We had Tony Parker as one of our picks. He won.
Yeah, that was pretty. I ended up wagering on him and Kyrie Irving. They were both long shots. I think, 4.5 to 1, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I think they were like +400, +500, right around there.
And, you know, I pointed out that he's a quick guy, and he tried. That was the key. You never know who's going to try. My logic on Kyrie Irving was failed for some reason. He kind of went through the motions, which is kind of strange for a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah, you think you're a rookie, you'd be excited to be in any sort of thing.
You really
but, him. Yeah. Oh, speaking of mailing it in, I don't think any of us did. Did we even make a pick in the slam dunk contest?
I don't remember who I believe I picked Derek Williams, but God, what an awful dunk contest.
Yeah, well, that was a layoff as far as watching and gambling on that dunk contest.
I will
yeah,
say
and
the best dunk won.
That is true. I'll give it that. But
jumped over a guy sitting in a bar stool and dunked. Caught two balls in the air and dunked them both. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, it is. I they got to do something, though, to mix it up or to
but
make
then,
sure that these guys play or something.
But then you saw LeBron, that dunk he had in the first quarter of the All-Star game, was he like started like he was going to do a windmill with his right hand, switched to his left, and dunked it as he flew into the basket. I don't know.
Yeah, why not just have that? I mean, I think Blake, I guess, said the reason he didn't want to do it was everything else associated with the actual dunk contest. He was like, yeah, if they just make me show up and dunk, I'm fine with that. That's not a big deal. But I guess there's all these media obligations, you know, everything else associated with tons of meetings, you know, meeting with press, photo shoots, all this other stuff attached to it, you know, going over rehearsal or all that stuff that he didn't want to waste time doing.
Someone brought it up. I think it might have been Barkley. But bottom line, they want real people in there. Just get $1 million, winner take all.
No, that would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, instead of – yeah, I mean, they already have all these, you know, sponsorship tie-ins with, like, Kia and everything. I mean, how much
you
do you think
the
NBA –
they can't raise $1 million cash?
Yeah, I mean, what did Kia get for that dunk that Blake had over there? I'm sure – how much do you think Kia had to pay for that? That was at least $1 million.
They drove the car on the court.
How does the NBA not get more crap for that? I mean, just blatant. I've never seen such insane product placement for something that's supposed to be competitive. Is there any way they have him jump over the car and do that whole sponsorship thing, which comes out of it? I'm sure it was all set up before. Is there any way he loses that?
No, but it's crazy because I know you don't watch a ton of like sitcom TV or network TV, but a lot of those shows now, it's getting real bad. Like, you know, randomly the main character will talk about how much he loves Subway. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I know. Well, speaking of Subway, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline sponsors the Bill Simmons podcast. Did you see who his guest was today, Ryan?
I did, and I caught myself. They printed the transcript on ESPN. I started reading it, and I was like, I want to listen to this. That's pretty amazing. Like, what?
Yeah. Barack Obama. I said our country jumped the shark having our president on a podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. But then again, it's a sign of the new media times. He's just hanging out, talking a little basketball.
Well, I guess if anyone's going to do it from the sports sector, it's got to be like Bill Simmons. It can't. Cause imagine if it was Rick Riley.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a pile of
crap. What about like a guy like Dan Patrick or
Marv? That's what I was going to say. It would have to be someone along the lines of, I don't know. I guess for me, Al Michaels would be the main guy.
Al Michaels, Bob Costas, Dan Patrick, maybe a little more seasoned sports veteran, but I think he's done some of those different types of shows.
I like the element of the you know, Simmons tries to pretend like he's not just a fan, but that's pretty much what he is.
Exactly. All right, so let's get to the NBA All-Star game itself. We were all over that.
Wait a second, Sean.
Oh,
the
sorry.
The contest.
Oh, my God, I almost forgot. It's on the other line of my notes here.
Yeah.
Yes, our pick, Kevin Love, 6-1 odds.
Pretty ridiculous. I mean, I think it opened closer to 8-1, which is crazy because there's only six people in the contest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just – and he went to two tiebreakers. It was pretty –
Well, it started off – he didn't have a great – he didn't have one great round, really. I think his highest number was 18. It might have even been that first one, and he got 18. I forget who else tied him with 18, but he was tied for third place. Then he went first in the tiebreaker and only got a 17. Then the guy facing him off got a 16, and then he got a 16 in the, I think, final round where he ended up tying Durant, and Durant got a 16. And then, it was crazy. Two separate tiebreakers for Kevin Love to win it.
That was a pretty exciting exciting gambling moment.
Oh, dude, I was literally when he was – I think they're like he had a 16 and it was in the second round. The other two guys had to go. So all that had to happen was one guy had to have a 17.
Yep.
And I just remember Reggie Miller going, 17, oh, my God, Chalmers can make this in his sleep. And I was about to turn the TV off out of disgust and just start betting more on the actual All-Star over. And then I was like, wait a minute. I don't know. That just felt like a weird jinx to me. And I waited it out, and it was worth it.
Yeah, speaking of Reggie Miller, how is he the main – how is he the A guy for TNT?
Yeah, I don't know. It's him and Bob – or Marv Albert, right?
Yeah, we got to – Since
what a duo, Marv Albert and Reggie Miller.
Yeah, you have a guy who might be a girl versus a guy who wants to have sex with him and then make him bite him or whatever. I don't know. What did Marv Albert do?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Reggie Miller.
Oh.
Reggie Miller, he just strikes me as a little light in the loafer. Seems like a nice guy. And then, of course, Marv Albert and his whole... there were some prostitutes, some that were supposedly kind of mannish looking, he got charged with sodomy for backbiting this chick who apparently got out of line. It's always great to just see these like weird characters be brought up on odd charges like that.
Yeah, they gotta get rid of Reggie Miller and replace him with Chris Webber.
Chris Webber's solid, man.
He kinda just rots. He doesn't do the main pregame or halftime show.
Yeah, and then they boxed him out of TNT to bring in Shaq. I didn't like that.
Well, that's the thing is he does a lot of NBA TV stuff. Like he's on the main crew, the A crew for NBA TV. But it's like, yeah, he calls games from time to time and he's really good at it. They should just have him do that.
What are the odds, Ryan? Over under on Shaq's broadcasting career?
He's not very good. The main reason I like him. It's probably the same reason I liked Jaws on Monday Night Football, is that Shaq gets under Chuck's skin. He just creates this odd element of, he just prods him. His go-to move is to tell Charles Barkley that Karl Malone was a better power forward than him. And Charles Barkley loses it. Like it's almost like a bad TV show, you know?
Yeah, no, it feels less like a sports analyst program and more like just a sitcom. Of like, hey, this is his odd couple foible. But I think, do you think Shaq really sticks it out? I think Shaq has so much money and just could do, you know, anything he wants on TV. I think he'll get bored of it eventually. Over under on Shaq's broadcasting career with TNT, Ryan.
10 years.
10 years. All right, I'll take the under.
Yeah. That's probably wise money. He's probably going to do something scandalous. I feel like that's how he gets kicked off the air.
Well, Charles Barkley, how long did he get suspended?
For which incident?
I don't know. The latest one with the running the stop sign to get the prostitute.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the bad check he wrote to the casino.
Oh, yeah. Did he even really get in trouble with that? TNT didn't get in trouble with that. TNT didn't care.
It's funny how gambling is like, if you're not playing, it's just like it's a man's issue. No need to make a big deal about it.
It is funny. His excuse is that he just forgot. It was a $500,000 marker. He just never bothered paying, and then eventually they send it to collections.
I don't know. I don't know. Shaq's not very good though. Their best, the all-time best TNT was from last year when they'd have Kevin McHale sit in the Shaq seat. Oh man.
Kevin McHale's pretty strong.
Well, he's doing a good job coaching the Rockets right now.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. No big stars, although that could change, Ryan. The NBA trade deadline is coming up.
Yeah.
Over-under on big-name trades.
Wow.
What do you think? Are we hitting three big-name trades? How many big-name All-Stars are
there? Number of players who played in the All-Star game that will get traded.
Okay.
I'll set the line. Let's see. I mean, I think you have to set the line at a half.
Right.
And then if you believe, because I think it could be one of those things that if Howard goes, Williams could also go.
That is true.
But I don't know. The more you read about, it's been reported, Bill Simmons has talked about it, how Deron Williams is apparently in on the discussions of the team direction. So maybe he's allowing them for them to suck this year just so they can go out and make a big, you know, go and grab Howard. Who knows? I don't know. I'm going to take under. I have a feeling that none of the All-Stars are getting dealt.
That's insane. I don't know why the Orlando Magic had a deal in place to get Andrew Bynum for Dwight Howard. How, why would you – I mean, you're not going to win the title this year. Why would you not take that trade? You're not going to get anything for Dwight Howard.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're going to let Dwight Howard leave. Why not get a young big man? Yes, obviously Andrew Bynum isn't good as Dwight Howard, but you know who Andrew Bynum is better than? A lot of people in the NBA. He's a solid dude. Yes, he's had injury problems, and yeah, he's maybe not even a franchise player, but it's a good start.
And he's only 24.
Yeah, he has a lot of potential, and he has potential to grow as a big man. Who knows?
And but due to those injuries, he hasn't played a ton of games.
Yeah, what is the risk reward of keeping Dwight Howard for these next few months? And it's easy to sell to your fans of, hey, do you want the whole Shaq situation? The Orlando Magic fan base knows what it's like to lose a huge big man and get nothing out of it. And just look at how Cleveland handled their situation. You imagine how they would have been if they would have got some pieces from for LeBron, plus they would have had Kyrie Irving to build around?
It's funny how scared Shaq is that Howard's going to duplicate his whole career.
Yeah, Shaq is stealing his nickname,
going to L.A.
Yes. Shaq told him to pass on the Genie movie, but Dwight Howard's going to sign up for the whole package. Yeah, and then Boston's trying to get rid of Rondo. And supposedly the latest deal I heard or proposed deal was sending Powell to the Rockets, and I guess they get Lowry and I forget who else, Scola. And that I guess that kind of makes sense.
I don't know.
I mean, it's at least easier to space out your team, but getting rid of Powell's, I don't know, it's tough, man. Lakers got to do something if they want to look to win the title here. You need a point guard.
Speaking of Powell, he did not make the All-Star game, and his brother did. That's gotta suck.
Yeah, I didn't realize what a quiet year he was having. Just because I think right before the All-Star game, he went on a nice little run there, and that's when I started paying attention to his stat line. But yeah, he's not been having a great season so far. All right, Ryan, we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on Jeremy Lin. Did you see this? Ben and Jerry's are changing the recipe to their. I forget the name of the ice cream. I think it's just called Linsanity or something like that.
Yeah. Honey, caramel, and fortune cookie.
Yeah, fortune cookies ground up into little pieces. And I think now they're replacing it with granola because people are saying that's offensive. First off, can Jeremy Lin be the one getting offended by this stuff? I mean, I haven't heard Jeremy Lin complain about anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it said, zipper head ice cream.
Yeah, it's not
The name of the ice cream was Taste of Insanity.
Right. They even wrote, like, hey, we're trying to celebrate Jeremy Lin. We're big fans. Yeah, what's... I mean, yes, at Chinese restaurants, they have fortune cookies. What's... I mean, obviously, they would catch a ton of crap if you did it for a black stereotype or whatever. But the reason why people are excited is because he's an Asian guy. There hasn't been an Asian guy under 7 feet to play like this in the NBA. It's interesting. It's a unique story. They're kind of capitalizing on it.
The Ben and Jerry guys are like turbo hippies. Like they're not – they're the last people that are going
to
be racist.
They're the most politically correct people. They are the largest contributor to the Occupy movement. You want to talk about flushing money down the drain? They donated like $1 million to the Occupy movement.
Well, that just means they got money to burn.
Right, exactly. They're a couple of Vermont hippies pissing their money away. They were not trying to offend him. I guarantee you that. Okay, so NBA trade deadline. Ryan, do you see anyone going down, any big moves being made?
I don't know. I mean
– What's the – out of these three stars, who do you think gets traded first? Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, or Pau Gasol?
Oh, wow. So that's another one. For some reason, Boston wants to get rid of Rondo. Maybe for the same reasons that – Lakers want to get rid of Gasol, that they failed at trading him, and now they're all, their butts hurt. But, I mean, Rondo, yeah, he can't shoot. But even without the ability to shoot, he's still a top 7 point guard. I mean, I don't know why they're so eager to get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's their best player. He's a top 5 point guard. And, yeah, he'd be a lot better.
I would say that, God, it's a It's not Howard. It's either Gasol or Rondo. I'm going to say Rondo. I have a feeling that because, I don't know, what's the GM's name in Boston? He has a
Danny
Ainge. He has a history of making questionably risky moves. So yeah, I'm going to say he doesn't.
He does seem to be like a deal maker, and this Rondo thing has been looming over the franchise for a long time. I think, I see that going down as a possibility, but I'm going to go with my pick as Powell. I think the Lakers move Powell. I just got a feeling there.
I think both those guys are going to get moved.
Right, they could be, but if I think in my mind the most likely is Powell, then Rondo, then Howard. Although if I was Orlando, Howard would be, you got to get rid of the guy. Listen, if he wanted to play in Orlando, he would re-sign right now.
Yeah, I don't know. They brought it up a lot with LeBron. It's the whole, like, these guys came out of high school. They never got to go down the whole, like, recruitment path, and I think part of it is they just want to be wanted. They want to see people, like, kind of grovel and, you know, roll out the red carpet for them.
God, what is up with that? If I was Dwight Howard, you know who I want to see grovel? The Orlando Magic dancers grovel. That's all I want to see groveling. I don't want – who cares if Mark Cuban wants to, you know, kiss your ass? Of course, all these guys want to kiss their ass.
But, Sean, would you want to play and live in Orlando?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I would be fine
If you were so good that you could pick and choose where you went, wouldn't you want to leave?
Yeah, no, I'm not that angry at Dwight Howard. I'm just saying that angle that people say that, oh, they just want to be wooed or stuff like that. That to me is ridiculous. Yeah, I understand you can pick where you want to play and just man up and say, no, I'm going to be a free agent. And that's why I think Orlando should trade him, because he's not going to come back to Orlando, and you're ridiculous to think he's going to.
That's what killed me about the LeBron situation. Every one of those Cleveland fans, if someone had offered them a job in Miami, they would all take it. It's just, it's crazy. I don't know.
All right, Ryan, let's move over to the NCAA. Things are getting hot here in college basketball. What do you got on the slate, Ryan? What's going on?
Well, you got the all the conference schedules are winding down. I believe some of the conference tournaments might even start this weekend, but most of them will start next week. Leading up to Selection Sunday, which is on, the 10th. So we're almost a week away from Selection Sunday. So you're going to see, I believe, the Big East, all the big ACC, they all start next Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, I don't know. I think, have you been keeping up, Sean?
I've been following some college basketball, getting into it more this year.
God, this Kentucky team is good.
Kentucky's pretty good. I think UNC, obviously they've lost a few here in the regular season. I think they could be trouble. I like betting against Ohio State. I don't know. I'm not really that sold against. I mean, obviously I think they'll do all right in the early rounds, but I don't think they're going to make a run here.
All right. Here we go. So we got the ACC starts March 8th. Let's see what we got starting soon. Okay, so we got the America East tournament starting today.
All right. Who do we got in American East?
We should pick this. I don't even know some of these teams, but it's basically the division with Albany, University of New Hampshire, Boston University, Maine, University of Vermont. Looks like the one seed is Stony Brook.
Okay, who's the two seed?
Oh, this is also the division with Tony Kornheiser alumni, Binghamton, who I believe they're setting a record by not having a win. Or maybe they
Wow.
Sorry, they're 1-28. They've lost I think they've lost 26 in a row.
That's insane.
Yeah.
All right. Geez, I don't know. Give me Maine.
All right, Maine's the 7th seed. Probably not gonna work out for you.
The outside shot.
The number 2 seed is Vermont. I'm going to take Vermont. They've been playing well lately. But really, who gives a shit?
You know who, as far as we're talking about crazy upsets, if Long Beach makes it in the tournament, I think it's Long Beach State, or maybe it's Cal State Long Beach, but there's a.
No, it's Long Beach State, and they're not a bad team.
Yeah, I like them to cover or possibly win opening round in the tourney. Well, you heard it here first.
You said that the West Coast, I believe they're in the West Coast Conference.
Mm-hmm.
They are not in the West Coast Conference. West Coast Conference is St. Mary's. But yeah, I'll dig through and show you my final. But it basically all the conference tournaments are starting like anywhere from yesterday through the 8th. So next week we'll have full college basketball coverage. I think it's the best time of the year to do the research. We can go. I mean, the only tournaments that have started are all the small conferences, who will probably only put out 15, 16 seeds anyway. So nothing really to talk about.
Did you see the Sports Illustrated UCLA story?
I did not. Is it the one that the coach lost the team?
Yeah. Basically, the coach has lost the team. That's why, you know, 2008, supposedly they had this record or, you know, this amazing recruiting class and just hadn't really been able to do much. And they're blaming it on, you know, typical stuff. Guys getting high. Guys taking ecstasy.
Okay.
Practicing. Sounds like there was one player who was intentionally injuring other players. And they kind of looked away. Yeah, it's not good times over for UCLA.
All right, Sean. Long Beach State is the number one seed in the Big West. With their conference tournament starts on the 8th.
All right, nice.
15-0 in their conference, 22-7 overall. And that, to me, now their conference isn't tough, but that to me seems like they're gonna. They have a 15 seed locked up, assuming they win their division. Maybe a 14. Who knows?
Isn't Cal State Northridge in there?
That is Cal State Northridge. Yep, they are last place at 3-13 in the conference.
Yeah, which is a shame because that's where I went to school. And you know, sometimes they got a decent team they put out. Oh, they've made the tournament.
They were in the tournament, and they played a solid 30 minutes against. Was it? It might have been Kentucky. I don't remember, but
yeah, I thought it was. I want to say Duke, but I could be wrong. I think they still ended up covering the spread, though. It was pretty big. It was like 17.5. See, that's the thing. The you know, it's tough, man. Those 116 spreads are always huge. Same with the 215.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because you go there and you're like, there's no way. Kentucky is going to lose to. Right now, they're projected to play the winner of UNC.
Yellow.
Nashville versus Savannah State. There's no way they're going to lose, but are they going to win by 26 or whatever the spread is? I don't know. It's tough.
Sorry, you cut out there. Yeah, sorry, you cut out.
You got me now? That's all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were just talking about the number one picks, how they're such huge favorites. My buddy went to Vegas last year, and he parlayed all the number one and two seeds together, and he bet $50 to win 54. You have to parlay 8 games to
get all money lines? Yeah, that's not worth it. That's why my rule, as you know, we're out there every year. My rule is to just – you don't bet on those games. So you throw out those 8 games, and you just bet on the other – 24 games. It's just, it's not worth it. Unless you like the dog.
Yeah, if you like the dog, like in the case with Long Beach State, and they're getting 19 points.
Sean, I just looked it up. Right now, they're projected to be an 11 seed.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, so maybe not the secret you thought you had up your sleeve there.
No, I guess, you know, the nation is on to Long Beach State. Look out.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, let's, Daytona 500, under the lights. Kenseth comes into first place. Dale Jr. hanging behind in second. Couple sweet explosions.
Yeah, that's what we need to talk about. First things first, I had all that money that I won on the All-Star game, so I'm like, all right, clearly I need to place a bet on the Daytona 500. And while I was doing that, I noticed that they had the props, who will win the championship. So I grabbed my man, Smoke, Tony Stewart. He was going off at 8-1. So I placed a nice $100 wager on him to win the championship.
The Sprint Cup.
The whole thing. Yep. Just like he did last year. And then the Daytona 500, I also bet on him. He ended up getting wrecked towards the end of the race. But so I bet on the race. So I tried to watch it, and God, that is awful. I don't know how people go to these things. And the coolest thing was when Andretti or whoever it was, I don't know, he was trying to catch up to the pack during a caution and lost control and drove into a truck that they use to dry the track that has a jet engine on the back with 200 gallons of air, jet fuel.
Yeah, basically these incredibly intense dryers that they use to dry the track. They run off jet fuel. He somehow slides out of control, crashes into it. The whole thing ignites.
Oh, man.
Also, Danica Patrick did not finish.
Just listening to the announcers, like, they're bringing in experts. Like, so what do we think is going to happen to the asphalt? It's just like, oh, my God. How is this a sport?
The highlights of NASCAR are always exciting. Or maybe in the last five.
That being said, when I go go-karting, my hands are tired after a 15-lap race. So I could see the athleticism needed, but God.
No, there's definitely athleticism associated with NASCAR racing, but
it's more the fans. What are they doing? I mean, I guess you just go and get drunk. When I was a kid, we went out to the Pocono racetrack in Pennsylvania, and the line into the track is just like everyone has a rolling cooler and has bungee cord as many 30 packs as possible to that. I guess they have a rule where you're allowed to roll in a cooler. They'd have no rule about how much you can tie to the top of it. So you see these like super rednecks with like, I don't know, 200 beers, like cruising in, just like that. I guess that's the element that makes it fun. I don't know. It's pretty.
Yeah, I think it's just being outdoors, listening to loud noises, getting drunk, cranking Skinnerd, getting wasted, eating tons of food, chewing dip.
Skinnerd.
Yeah, I mean it's a whole day, but to just watch it on TV is kind of tough.
Oh, man.
You have to get really drunk to enjoy it.
The equivalent to Sunday Ticket is the driver pass, where you get to choose which radio frequency you listen to as you watch.
Yeah, now guys were, I guess, during the caution, guys were live tweeting using some hookup so that they could just talk into their phone and it would tweet it out there.
Yeah, they have this new thing that, like I said, I watched the race and it's got off, but they talked about how they have, like, select drivers will have a thing in their car so they can basically speak to text, and it's I don't know, man. What a crazy sport.
All right, you want to check out the combine at all, Ryan?
Well, I'll tell you what I did check out. I noticed that RG3 came in right at the line set by the Sports Gambling Podcast.
We set it at 4.42 official NFL combine time. RG3's 40-second or 40-yard dash, 4.41.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Now, like, I love how every year there's a couple guys who, like, do really well in the combine and a couple guys who don't do well, and then they drop really far or go up really far, and then they, you know, the guys who rise usually are bust, and the guys who drop usually end up being great players. And this week it was the two guys, well, the one, I mean, RG3, everyone's now freaking out about him. They're talking about how potentially – the Browns might have to give up 3 first-round picks to move up. It's crazy.
Yeah, no one was more excited about that than the St. Louis Rams, who are openly shopping their second pick there.
They're saying that it's going to be more than the Giants gave up to get Eli Manning, and that was 2 first-round picks, a third and a fifth.
Wow.
It was a first and third that year and a first and fifth the next year. And they're saying that because the Redskins, I guess Shanahan and Fisher are old friends, they're saying that the Redskins, to compete with the Browns, might have to give up a first and third this year and a first and a second next year.
Wow.
And it's just like –
so, yeah, if you're – man, I mean, Jeff Fisher just picking a great time to move into this Rams spot because you got this second pick. You can trade down. You can get Blackman either at the Browns pick or where the Redskins pick. And then you got the Redskins who anytime you're on the other end of that bidding war, you're licking your chops because you know the Redskins are just going to drive the price up that much more.
Yeah.
And you can either rip off the Redskins or the Browns.
Because they're saying if the Browns do it, they would have to offer a first. They have 2 first-round picks this year. Plus a fifth this year and maybe a third next year. It's a crazy amount of picks that you'd have to give up just to get this one guy. It doesn't seem worth it anymore. It seems like you'd rather just get 4 guys and see how it works out, especially with the way guys, you know, go from being a sixth round pick to a great player. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I was one of these teams, obviously you want to get RG3. But then why not force their hand and just not trade up and force St. Louis to do something? Obviously, it sounds like one of these teams are going to bite.
Yeah.
But what about the idea of just taking a guy out of free agency, maybe a guy like Matt Flynn or something, and then just continuing to build in the draft?
Well, that's the thing is you can keep your picks. You get to sign someone. I don't know. But the other guy who was like the star of the combine was, did you see the Don Terry Poe, defensive tackle out of Memphis?
No, what did he do?
He came in weighing 346 pounds, 6'4". He put up 44 reps at 225, and he ran a 4.98 in the 4.
Oh yeah, no, I did see that. That's insane.
That's unbelievable. Well,
these guys are just freaks in nature.
To put that in perspective, I think he ran faster than like 40% of the middle linebackers. I don't know. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, speaking of middle linebackers, that's the one guy who fell a ton. The kid from Arizona State. I don't know. I can't pronounce his name. It's like Buffart or something like that. He came in and he had already had discipline issues, like off the field. He was always like late hits. But they always said he was a physical specimen, and he came out and I believe he ran like a 5.140. He looked like he hadn't been working out. And now he's a guy who before last season he was a surefire first rounder. Now they're saying he might not get drafted.
Wow. How do you fall that hard?
And I guarantee he's going to be a guy that gets picked up by someone and has that chip on his shoulder. I mean, unless he's just a total, you know, unless he is what he is, he could just come out and have a chip on his shoulder. So if you watched him play at Arizona State, he was a beast. Some of these guys
are like that though.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not gym rats, but they can just turn it on. I mean, no one ever talked about LT's work ethic in the weight room. I don't know if he was there all the time. Some guys are just freaks of nature.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, LT, LT wasn't exactly worried about making anyone think he was a good person.
No, not at all. And he didn't need to. He was just a man. All right, did you see this, though? The Eagles franchised DeSean Jackson, signed him to a one-year deal, $9.4 million. No, not at all. I hate DeSean Jackson. I think they should get rid of him.
That's a crazy person to franchise. Like, what are they trying to accomplish?
Well, sometimes a franchise tag is used to trade.
Yeah.
So maybe
they
that's
do have until June to sign him to a long-term deal, I believe.
Yeah. So maybe they sign him to a long-term deal where there's less money at the back end, or maybe they end up trading him. And Plaxico Burress, of course, wants to play with the Eagles, hang out with his homeboy Mike Vick.
Yeah, you can't like that either.
I don't know. I mean, Plaxico, I'm fine with it. I think Plaxico learned his lesson. DeSean Jackson just annoys me. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm fine with him signing him for the amount of money. I don't know what kind of money he thinks he's going to get. I don't think he's going to get crazy money.
I don't know.
He's still a big body and can still catch the ball. I think he's a decent third receiver.
I was reading somewhere that Mario Manningham could get is looking for a 5-year, $35 million contract, which is
wow, that's crazy.
Talking about parlaying a good second half of a season into some serious cash.
Well, yeah, I mean Victor Cruz, he's next in line to get paid.
Well, the Giants will sign Victor Cruz, I believe. I think that much like they did Justin Tuck after Justin Tuck had that great year leading up to the Super Bowl. They're going to sign him to what they did to OC. They're going to sign him to a longer deal at a discount. And then, you know, look at OC. He's been bitter the last 3 years because he signed a bad contract.
Yeah. He's whining around. All right. This is reminding me of the Super Bowl. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
That's fair.
Ryan, do you have any, look up some Friday NBA odds, get some NBA picks going?
I don't see why not.
All right, check those out.
All right,
We
going. We got them right now. It's a full,
okay.
Pretty full slate of games. So I'll just pick out the highlights. So we'll start.
Yeah, give us six NBA picks.
All right, we'll start.
First off,
go ahead.
Oh wait, real quick, I'll just talk about my theory of betting against the Bobcats and the Wizards. 5-1 the previous week. Obviously, they didn't get to play a lot because of the All-Star break. Now betting against the Bobcats and Wizards, 1-2. The Wizards showing a little sign of life, covering the spread. But I didn't bet. I only bet on them twice, so I won one and lost the other. But the Bobcats are still a really strong bet against. And my plan is to keep riding the anti-Bobcats, anti-Wizards until... What like are you saying, Ryan?
Well, I was going to say, like our friend Stat Nerd Steve says, everything is a trend until it's not, and everything regresses towards the mean. So right. maybe we're catching the wave late. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. My thing was that if they go 3-7 combined in a 10-game section or lose like 4 in a row, then I'll back off it. But other than that, I'm still feeling pretty good about betting against the Bobcats and the Wizards. So and it just feels good.
Go ahead. What feels good?
It just feels good, honestly. I'm not even watching the games. I'm just looking at the stat line. You just see that, wow, especially the Bobcats, they're just such an awful team.
You're like Charlie Sheen in Wall Street. You don't have to watch the ticker. You knew what was going to happen to that blue sky airlines or whatever it was called. So first up, we'll start with your boys, Charlotte Bobcats, traveling to San Antonio.
Oh, my God.
Getting 14.5.
I like the Spurs. They're going to be coming off rest.
As you should.
I mean, so are the Bobcats, but I don't think give me the Spurs minus 14.5.
So yeah, none of those teams are playing today. So yeah, they are
this is going to post Friday.
Sorry. None of the teams played Thursday, so what a bad team Charlotte is. Unbelievable. All right, next up, we have the Clippers traveling to Phoenix to play the Suns. Phoenix getting 2 at home.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because they played Wednesday night, Thursday night, which would be last night if you're listening to it on Friday. They are in Sacramento laying 4 against the Kings now to go back to Phoenix. But the Clippers are a surprisingly good road team. And the Suns will be coming off. Suns will have just played the T-Wolves the night before. I actually like the T-Wolves.
It's a back-to-back
actually like the Suns.
Versus back-to-back-to-back.
Right.
I feel like you just got to take, although Phoenix, 2 games in a row. I don't know.
That training staff, Ryan. No, yeah. I'll take the Clippers here, -2.
Yeah, the Clippers have to start making a statement. They've kind of let the Lakers hang around. I'll also take the Clippers here. So then, it's kind of a lot of shitty games. I'll be honest with you. And some of the better games don't have spreads up yet. So let's go over to Memphis traveling to Toronto. Toronto getting 3 points.
Toronto getting 3 points
at home. Give me Memphis. Memphis is just way more talented than Toronto.
Memphis much better team.
Here's an interesting one. Jersey traveling to Boston. Boston laying 6. I don't know if you guys have you watched Boston lately? They're horrible.
And Nets are getting 6.
I might take the Nets. I mean, I feel like Deron Williams has been playing hard. I'm going to take the Nets. You see Brooke Lopez put up 38 the other night. I'm going to take the Nets here.
Yeah, I'll take the Nets. I like the Nets there.
All right, and then we'll do one more. Got Chicago traveling to Cleveland. Cleveland getting 8.5 at home.
I'll take Cleveland there.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about it. I feel like this is one of those games where the veteran, or whatever you want to call Derrick Rose, kind of has the whole, all right, come on now, young fella, and just shows Kyrie Irving how to play basketball. The thing is, the Cleveland has one player. Chicago's defense is going to shut Irving down. I like Chicago here, even though they're laying a good chunk of points.
I'll take Cleveland here. My mindset being that although Chicago plays great defense, they have had, you know, their offense has had some moments where they kind of struggled. I think Cleveland fan base will get a little fired up, at least enough to carry the 8.5-point spread. And keep it close enough that, yeah, I think they cover 8.5 here.
That's pretty much it. It's a pretty bad night for games.
All right. Well, you got some Friday NBA picks there. Talked a little combine. Talked a little gloated about our NBA All-Star picks.
We didn't
that
really
were amazing.
Talk about the over in the All-Star game. We nailed that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we brushed on it, but yeah, man, that was coming in for a long time. 301 was the total. We got it at 284. 17 points just hanging. You didn't even sweat it. I mean, that first quarter, I think they were like 2 points off. I think it was 71 a quarter. First quarter, they got 69, and then the second quarter, they had 90 points. So once they hit that 90 in the second quarter, it felt pretty good.
Pretty unbelievable.
And we should have taken the West plus five. That's another factor I feel like we didn't highlight as much as we should have, Ryan. Kobe Bryant in All-Star games. Kobe Bryant plays his ass off.
We did highlight how, it, on paper, if you looked at the starting lineups, the East looked like the better team. But if you look at the benches, the West was clearly the better team. So the fact that
we ended up taking West in the 5 points there. But yeah, I mean, moneyline West would have been a decent play as well. Plus 155 jumping off the books. Ryan, we'll wrap up on this. Was Dwayne Wade's foul on Kobe Bryant in the All-Star game, was it dirty or not?
I don't know.
Gambling podcast poll question.
I've been saying for years that Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul have the same element of it's always called hustle and playing hard. But if you watch it and if you're rooting for the other team, and especially if you watch it in person, they have this at least once every couple games, you'll see them pull this move that's just dirty. Like, you'll see Dwayne Wade fall over and then kick his foot out to try to trip someone. Or Chris Paul, you know, look like he's not doing anything but trying to take the legs out of someone. So I'm going to say it was intentional. I'm going to say it was Dwayne Wade sending a message that you're old, you're washed up, stop trying so hard, because he was playing hard defense on Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what happened. And I think Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade get away in the same sense that they're both these little guys who are also really good. So it goes a long way as far as not getting calls when you're doing dirty things and guys not calling them out. But man, I think I'm just falling in love with Kobe Bryant as of late. I don't like the Lakers. I don't like the franchise, but Kobe Bryant is still, you got to give it up for this guy. He's in FU mode. He's getting old. He's getting banged up, and it's, I don't know, man. I just wish I wish LeBron had some of that heart that Kobe had. It would make for a much more exciting NBA season.
Yeah, I think the one guy in the league who has that is probably Durant. Durant has that, you know. Unfortunately,
and I think
he doesn't have the give me the fucking ball like otherwise he'd have some issues with Westbrook, but he definitely has that killer instinct down the stretch.
Well, and I think to a degree Derrick Rose has it.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, he definitely has.
I don't know if you saw that screenshot of when LeBron James got introduced and he at the All-Star game and he's dancing and Derrick Rose just looks at him like, you look at you little queer just jumping around. Like, it's a grown man's game.
Yeah, Derrick
you're
Rose,
getting honored.
Derrick Rose definitely is like a throwback player. He's not into all that, you know, fruity shit.
Yeah, he's not only like jumping around and dancing and stuff like that. Chicago's a fun team to root for. Unfortunately, Sixers, they look like they're coming off the rails here, struggling in the second half and just even leading up to the All-Star game, as a lot of people predicted. Not too surprised. Hopefully they can still pull out a decent seed in the playoffs.
I think they'll still make the playoffs. I think that the East is actually pretty set. It would be a crazy surprise if Cleveland came out of nowhere to surprise and pull off like an 8 seed. But I think you're pretty much locked in. You're going to see the Knicks and Celtics towards the bottom. You're going to see the Heat and the Bulls at the top. And you're going to see, you know, some of these teams like the Hawks, Orlando Pacers, and Sixers in the middle somewhere.
All right, man. Sounds good. Next week we'll be breaking down the NCAA conference games as well as
full on conference tournament next week.
Full on conference
Real
tournament
quick,
special.
So a lot.
And
sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, and then take a look at the over under for win totals for the NBA. See how they're looking.
So real quick, a lot has come out since we last talked about the Ryan Braun situation.
Oh yeah, sure. We didn't get to this.
What do you think? Who do you believe?
Well, it's weird because Ryan Braun and his attorneys, the MLB Players Association, never question the integrity of the sample. All they did was question the fact that it was held for 72 hours before testing instead of 24.
Well, they never questioned the results either.
No, I think he got off on a technicality. I don't know why his was when Manny Ramirez got caught, he was double Manny Ramirez's testosterone level, which is an insane level of testosterone. I think, now this is pure speculation, that he had got some sort of designer drug that wasn't taken properly or something, because to get that high of testosterone levels are insane. It sounded like he would have had injected like 5 minutes before the guy tested him, and they have like a 24-hour window where they know they're going to get tested. I think there is something else going on. I don't know what it is. I think he took some sort of human growth hormone, testosterone, something at some point.
Yeah, it just like he's one of those guys that you put on the list. Like, yeah, he's probably not doing anything. That's what makes it interesting.
Well, now it sounds like there's more and more subtle drugs, these ones that are harder to detect, harder to notice. These guys that have the money to spend, you can kind of be ahead of the curve. I mean, it's basically there's no money in catching these guys. There's money in helping these guys not get caught. So the doctors, the people designing it, the people giving these guys these drugs, if you can give these guys something that can't be detected and is kind of ahead of the curve, there's a lot of money to be made.
Well, at what point do we just let them do it? Like, why are we preventing them from doing it? For the kids?
Maybe there's an argument that should be said, hey, you guys get testosterone, you guys get whatever kind of steroids you want. They're going to be administered by a legit doctor. You're going to be monitored by a team physician the entire time. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, people go to the doctor and get human growth hormone prescribed to them today in the United States. So I don't.
Yeah, what are we just going to have to question everything from now on? It's kind of insane. I wouldn't be opposed to just opening and everything up, saying, hey, this stuff's legal. You're going to be working with team doctors who are going to administer this stuff. And maybe that would even the playing field. I don't know. I'm sure guys would still try to push that. But, yeah, I mean, at some point, why not just let these guys take what they want to take? I mean,
laws, right? You make the laws not for the people. The people breaking the law are going to break the law anyway. So it just seems.
Hey, Ryan, steroids don't break records. Humans break records.
That's right. Barry Bonds quote?
Yeah, make sure you tune in next week and make sure you log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Stacking the Money Green. And he's?
I want to be Stacking the Money Green, especially. Can we both be Stacking the Money?
All right. For Ryan, Stacking the Money Green Kramer. Or no, for Ryan. Stacking the Money Kramer, and for Sean, Stacking the Money Green. This has been the Sports Gambling Podcast.